And welcome to Star Wars Radio. It's all in the stars. This is Hassan Jaffer, your astrologer for the next hour. And we are going to be talking about relationships today. A lot of people have requested about love and relationships and their soulmates. And so the number to call is 1-888-268-4313. This is all across North America. It's a free call. It's 1-888-268-4313. If you're calling from outside North America, it's 1-281-419-7696. So, besides, this relationship, I've got some really exciting things for you. And, I'm going to be giving you some sort of music and, which relates to different signs of zodiac. But when I'm talking about your sign, you know, you can't say, oh, I hate Virgos, I hate Sagittarius, because you are born with all the signs somewhere in your chart. So there are the 12 houses in a chart. And you have it everywhere. Wherever you have Leo, you have the dynamic side. You have the fame element in your chart. And everyone is born with it. Right next to it is a side where you're very critical. That's the Virgo side. But it's also a perfectionist side of you. The organized side. Then there's a side where there's love. Wherever you find Libra on some house cards, you don't have to be born with that sign. So you have all the signs of zodiac. When we talk about relationships, you're not just talking about a sun sign. Now, of course, we astrologers, professional astrologers, bear with this sun sign thing, because I guess a lot of people think that it keeps astrology in business. But when you are comparing relationships, we are comparing Mercury position, Venus position. Of course, sure, your sun signs do indicate certain things. So when I'm talking about Aries and Taurus and Gemini, I'm talking about the sign by itself, not just the sun sign. So remember that. So you might be an Aries, but Venus might be in Taurus, for example, which is a totally different aspect than having everything in Aries. So now, one article that I wrote in March of 1993 about six types of attractions that I experienced in love and relationships. And this was based on, for example, all the different planets like Pluto, making aspect to your Venus, or Neptune, or Uranus, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, etc. So, I mean, I'm sure there are more of those also, there are many more, but these are the basic, six types. Now, you don't have to be born with them. You go through it by transit. You may become very inspirational at some point. You may become passionate at some point in the time. So it depends on, like, for example, Neptune aspect. It's the most inspirational love. And all this comes after something precious denied in life. And, the love story, that is is like a moon Neptune type. So the first one is this very passionate Eros type of love. And that's a Pluto aspect. If you have Venus in the sign of Scorpio, or if you have Venus-Pluto aspect, or by transit you're getting Pluto aspect to your Venus, you become a very obsessive person. If you want to possess a person, mind, body, and soul. If you're born with it, you'll be drawn to impossible type of relationships. And, but before I deal with individual planets now, that just gets heavy on that, we'll talk about different signs. First of all the fire signs, Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. Now, I'm talking on the Venus position, but to some extent, it also applies to sun signs. So let me play you the music for Aries. If you have planets in Aries, it'll be somewhat like this. Okay, now stop dancing. I just want to let you know what Aries aspect is. Aries side is dynamic. It's all these brass type instruments, but very powerful type of music, and something you'll find in gyms also, like when you're doing aerobic exercises or dancing at, or hip hop, for example. It lifts you up. It really, so it's a very, very important aspect. This is an Aries theme. So Jennifer Aniston, for example, she has Venus in the sign of Aries. And so obviously this side, you can see, it's not the most nurturing aspect. It's more for the parties, etc. So you could definitely see that she's not she's more of a party person than somebody who wants to stay home and watch the babies, etc. She'll definitely be sitters, as you can see. So this is that's the Aries theme. let me show you the Leo theme now. So if you're born with Venus and Aries, all the fire signs, if you have Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, and they're very dynamic, they're confident, they know that they make an impression on other people, they are attracted to the opposite sex, and they need challenges. And as soon as the challenge is over, they start getting bored. That's why you need somebody who's not a wimpy type person, but somebody who's dynamic, who's sporting, who's athletic, well, who's like a pirate, you know, they don't really like the gentleman type of people. And then you have this Leo theme. Let me just show you this another one. Very, very talented artist also. What a talented artist. I mean, there's nobody like him. I mean, as far as the artist is concerned, that's what they inquire and all these other people would say. Now, he's a Virgo, very shy person in real life, but he's got these planets in Leo. He's got Mercury in Leo, Venus in Leo, and so it gives this dynamic aspect and sudden burst of energy. And so when he comes on the stage, he becomes a total star. And he's even dressing like a prince and the gloved hand with all the jewels. That's all that Leo theme. So this is another, so the Leo side, like Tom Cruise born Venus and Leo. So is Nicole Kidman and also Sylvester Stallone. They'll wear these silk shirts, for example, as opposed to cotton shirts. By the way, I will be taking calls later on. And in about and if you do want to call in after I finish the Sagittarius theme, then you can start calling in. And we'll compare your relationship with your husband, your boyfriend, your mistress, with your wife, whatever. I'll tell you, if it's a business relationship or a love relationship, or you want to get married to somebody, for example, or if it's an existing relationship, how to improve that. I really don't like to rock the boat, and that existing relationship we can also, of course, improve. So this is a Leo theme that they need, that dramatic side they need, like a Moulin, the set of Moulin Rouge, that whole aspect of opulence and like a benevolent Caesar. They like to, somebody to pay them homage. Now, Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise both, I'm sure they still love each other. When something goes wrong, they try to show off with another person, glamorous and all that, rather than, because there's a lot of pride involved there. Now, the Sagittarius theme is an interesting theme also. This is, I'm going to play the, now, it has sort of a philosophical aspect. Now, this was a Sagittarius along with Libra theme. There's a love aspect also. It has, and plus a bit of Piscean theme. See, it has a cycle, like a hesitation when you hear it. And you just got the essence of that. In fact, the reason I was playing it also today, the moon is in Pisces, and you'll find sort of misty weather outside, or sometimes raining and cloudy, and so this is that, it has that deep sort of pathos, but it is a Sagittarius theme. Now, I'll show you a pure Sagittarius aspect, which is, of course, the Moonlight Sonata, and this is, of course, Beethoven. So that this side of you, it's not as dramatic, but it's definitely attracted to opposite sex still, but also is drawn to foreign countries, foreign lands, foreign travels. When you meet somebody while traveling, that's a Sagittarius theme, or somebody who's philosophical, or somebody who's into astrology, or your priest, for example. This is a Sagittarius theme. So the three fire signs, the three personality traits, by the music as you saw, they're all quite dynamic. Sagittarius is the most philosophical one. But and the person has with herself or a teacher, for example. And you're welcome to call in with your shows and at 1-888-268-4313 all across North America. It's a free toll free number. So do not hesitate, just give us a call. And should you wish, you know, you can also email us at stargaze@astrotrends.net. And but it's going to be a bit more difficult. So this time I think we'll, I mean, you can still put in your call, I mean, your emails, and next time I'll deal with that more. But if you have any questions about your own sun signs and all the different people that you are thinking of. So if you have Venus in these signs, like Venus and Leo or Aries or Sagittarius, all three get along very well with each other. Now, they also get along well with those who have air signs, like Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. So let me put that theme. Actually, I just want to show you one of the Earth aspects, one of the, you know, the Dean Martin. You'll see exactly what I mean by this, the type of love that I'm talking about, or, you know, this nostalgic aspect when you think of Victoria's Secret or laces, and especially for women, this is that, here's the Dean Martin song. This was the Taurus sign. If you have Venus in Taurus or Mercury in Taurus, see, Mercury indicates how you communicate. If you have Mercury in these signs, so Mercury in fire signs, for example, you'd be like an orator. You'd be so convinced that you're right. And as if you have some kind of power plant with God. If you have Venus in these signs, it's very easy to understand astrology, by the way. It's not a big thing. So you only have to deal with one chart, one Venus position all your life. So I'm going to be teaching you at the same time, educating you, plus you'll be entertaining as well. So this is the Taurus theme. So if somebody is born with the Taurus sign, so obviously, you know, they need that nostalgic aspect and antiques and old things and old wooden furniture, etc. And let's go with the Gemini theme. Now, this is a bit more perky. It's more, this is Bobby Darin from Come September. So for those of you who haven't heard this theme, it's called Come September by Bobby Darin. This feels more to me like a Gemini theme. Now I'll show you 3-4 songs of Libra, the most loving sign, the most peaceful and harmony. When you look at Venus in Libra, like Julio Iglesias is born with Venus in Libra, and his Venus is very close to Mercury, which gives a beautiful voice. Celine Dion is born with Mercury-Venus conjunction. In her case, it's in the sign of Pisces, and of course she really took off after Titanic, the sign of the ocean, the water. Elvis Presley was born with Mercury-Venus conjunction Capricorn. Muhammad Rafi of India, and one of the best singers of India, he was born with the exactly same aspect as Elvis Presley, same Mercury in Capricorn, and conjunction to Venus in Capricorn. And the thing is that we do not really talk much. Many poets are born with Mercury in Capricorn, and because they don't really waste words. They say a lot, just a few words, exactly opposite to politicians, of course, who say a lot and mean nothing. So this was now the Libra theme. First of all, just a pure Libra aspect of this one. Okay. I can't. I'm alive right now. So that's one Libra theme. And let me show you another one. If you have the one that I showed you before with that Beethoven theme. Here's the same one. just a slight hesitation makes it much more philosophical, and there's a deep, like a philosophical angle to it. Let me just take it forward a little bit. Same Libra aspect. And here's another one of pure Libra. So this is a pure Libra theme. You notice that sort of tremolo in the voice. You know, when you do that, that's the Venus aspect, the Mercury Venus aspect in itself. It's such a beautiful. And then here is, this is actually a Libra with a bit of Scorpio in it. You can mark the words in it.
Love me tender, love me sweet, never let me go.
See, that's the key word. Did you hear that? Never let me go. So that never let me go. There's a fatalistic kind of logic. That's a Scorpio theme. Now I'll show you one with the Libra and Pisces. So it has a certain pathos. Same love story. What it moves to. Starts out with a normal Libra theme. Whenever you hear it, it calms your nerves, makes it soothing, makes you fall in love. Have the music around and you really want to impress them a little bit. See those melodic minor scale, A minor scale. So beautiful. I think something is forward. So this is one. Now, and here's where the Piscean and Sagittarius theme comes up. This is with the guitar, totally different effect. You must be wondering, is it a music show or is it an astrology show? They're all Libra themes. So if you have Libra, so you can imagine this type of love. And now, of course, everyone responds to this type of music, so you must have some Libra in you somewhere in your chart, obviously. But if you have Venus and Libra, then specifically in love matters, you need that the harmony, you need someone who's elegant, who is not, you know, like, I'm sure minors, only people are also, but there's certain people, like Aries people, who might like mechanics or people who are like that, but somebody who is a Libra planet, they like somebody who's very sophisticated and the type of restaurants you're going to, you cannot go into a normal place, you know, that is like if you're Venus in Cancer, for example, you can go to places where all the truckers go, which is really, really good food. But if you're Libra planet, you need to go to places that's elegant, to explain beautiful music, etc. Now, the third part of the air signs is Libra. So here is the Libra theme. It's more of a space age type of music, actually. I don't know if you can hear that or not, but that's one. It's more of the space age type of music, and with all these different instruments on that being used, no. So if you have some Pisces planets, you need some people who are a bit more erratic type and unconventional and brilliant and inventors, for example, and people into high tech and computers. And or if you have Venus in Aquarius, for example, you'll probably meet your mate on the internet somewhere down the road, for example, and somewhere in all around the world, of course, you know, because so the high tech part of that. Okay, we have a caller. Welcome to.
Thank you.
Calling the stars. Hi.
Hi, Hassan. My name is Samantha. I tuned in last week, and I just want to tell you I'm really enjoying the show.
Excellent. How do you like this show? I can't hear myself here, so. And how do you like all our music?
Oh, it's great.
Does that make sense at all?
I'm enjoying it very much.
Excellent. That really makes sense, doesn't it? Because you see, there's two ways of understanding the truth. One is a conscious lens of truth. One is a subconscious lens of truth. And this is a subconscious way that you can understand, like, what Libra really means, what Aries really means, etc. How are you doing?
Excellent.
How did you do with speaking to you last night? So, are you interested in astrology itself also, or?
Very much so. And I had a couple of questions for you.
Yes.
I was wondering a little bit about compatibility.
Okay.
What kind of things I should be looking for. I mean, I've had my chart done before.
I see. Where is your Venus position, do you know?
It's in Aries.
In Aries, okay. And where is it in your chart?
In
like
the house.
Which house it is in? Which house it is in?
It's in the 12th house.
12th house, okay. So, you remember this one music that I played before? See, the Venus in Aries by itself is a bit of a selfish placement. Like Venus, Aniston was born with that, of course, and also Marilyn Monroe was born with that. It reminds me of pure Venus as opposed to Ceres and me first. And however, when you put it in the 12th house, it gives much more of the sacrificing instincts. What is that Piscean aspect? Also, there's many actors and actresses because of the Piscean aspect is when they love illusion and the fantasy. When you project all your fantasies on the screen, that becomes, you must be involved with a lot of that, I guess, you know, with acting and all that, or?
Oh, that's kind of funny, actually. I used to be.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I work in film, but behind the scenes now.
Oh, I see. The behind the scenes is a 12th house theme. Now, the one that I played before, the love story, but I said, you know, with the guitar theme, that's exactly this one. This part, you see?
Great song.
But it's a 12 aspect actually. Now, so let me just see if my other thing. Now, so the Piscean thing gives this like a Lysistrata type of music. Let me see if I have that here. So you need somebody who likes this music. You see, for example, if you play this music, and that's why I'm developing a program right now, where you'll be able to put your chip and synthesize a certain music automatically with it. And if the other person loves that music, you two are definitely going to be like soulmates. But if the other person hates it, then obviously you won't get along. I can guarantee that that's like one person. This will be one way of showing this thing. And for example, let's say somebody has Venus in Scorpio. This is more like the, you know, the Fausto Papetti. I'm just going to show you even the words of it.
Very nice.
Even the words that it's softly loved, but no one hears it but the stars. The vows of love we made will live until we die. See, as soon as you talk about life and death and all that, we're talking about Scorpio theme. Now, if you have any aspects in Venus and Pluto, do you have any Venus-Pluto aspects in your chart?
That's a good question. Between Venus and Pluto?
Do you have Pluto in Libra or Virgo?
That's a good question.
Last degree of the Virgo Club, yeah?
I think Jupiter is in Virgo, but I'm not sure about Pluto. I think it is in, in Virgo.
Actually, then you see you'd be drawn to these impossible type relationships, very intense. Like going from Calabria or Sicily or these impossible type relationships and they're major lessons of life and relationships. That's one of the things. However, since you have Venus in Aries and that's getting good aspects from Saturn right now. Now normally Saturn is a bit of an inhibiting force. Venus is positive, but you're ready for commitment. You're ready for long-term relationships. So what you need to do is right now, because it's not just a love aspect, you're ready for to settle down actually. Which means that you should be looking at, you know, when they say love is not, I mean, marriage is not looking into each other's eyes, it's looking in the same direction. So try to have as many common things as possible with that other person. Make sure, for example, if you love astrology, if you're into astrology, because astrology is almost like a calling. You don't just go into it, you know, it's a real devotion. So, and where is your Mercury, do you know?
Taurus.
Taurus. It is in Taurus, okay. Because as soon as it's in Taurus, then it's fantastic for research and digging up information. William Lilly was born with Mercury in the sign of Taurus. So beautiful. I mean, he does such fantastic work. He's the one who had predicted about the great fire of London, actually, in fact. So in your case, the distinguishing mark of the person would be that they will have a scar near the eyebrows. It'll be sporting, it'll be athletic. And also Venus is in the 12th house, will be involved with some aspect of research or some aspect of medicine, for example, or involved with abnormal psychology, like when you're drawn to criminals, for example. Were you ever involved with anybody who was drawn to, I should say, people like that? But
oh,
if you project, like I met Johnny Depp, for example, I was looking at his hand. His brain line was totally joined. And I told him, I said, no, I don't see you as a daring, adventurous person at all. So the Pirates of the Caribbean must have been totally like an acting. And he said, yes, totally acting. And he does that, okay, in Venus and Taurus. So in real life, when a person is daring, adventurous, you do need that aspect. Regardless of how sacrificing you are, you would need that. Somebody who's like a challenge, who doesn't get boring. That part would be very important.
Another aspect of
relationship is, like, for example, a certain year. Like your Mars, for example. Do you know where your Mars is?
Mars is in Sagittarius in the 7th house.
Okay. So now, for example, if somebody has Saturn in Sagittarius, let's say somebody was born in 1957, 58, and 59, you always have problems with them because their Saturn will touch off your Mars. That's a major aspect of like it's an accident configuration. Similarly, if somebody was born in 65, 66, and 67, you'll have problems with them. In fact, if you two are going together in a car, you might run into obstacles and major car accidents. You'll have to be very, very careful of that. Because it aggravates you more. It's like having a heart attack, you know, but when you go out with somebody, because that person represents the transit in your chart. Same thing in 1972 and 73. There are 22 different angles that you have to look at. So, you certainly need somebody who's practical, who's down to earth, who's got that Dean Martin theme that I said. So you know, love that aspect. Remember that one that I said? This one. Remember this one? That's a Taurus theme.
I also have my rising sign in Taurus, so it's funny you mentioned that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Then that Pastor Papetti that I was playing, that part really applies. So you have Scorpio and Sagittarius in the 7th house of marriage. You need something who's intense, who's deep, and by the same time who's philosophical. So somebody who's got Scorpio Sagittarius type of energy or those planets, they don't have to be that sign, but you will get along really well with them. The sign which would be difficult for you, by the way, would be the sign of Aries. That'll become like an obsession for you, but you'll also run into problems with them.
Really?
So there are quite a few different things. We have a report, it's called the Friends and Lovers Report, or Friends and Intimate. And you can always email to us, or you can go to order form, and you'll find the Friends and Lovers Report there. And this Friends and Intimate Report is both for either friendship that you want or for love, for marriage aspects. And it's about 25 to 30 pages. And, but I've, of course, every word is mine. It's quite a comprehensive one. It deals with all these themes, like what that person does for you, what you do for that person. All these things are taking care of that, yeah.
And one quick question. Do I absolutely have to have the person's correct date of birth to get a good reading?
The date of birth or time of birth?
The time of birth.
Yeah, the time of birth, it's not as necessary. If one person knows the time of birth, then it's much. Of course, it helps also, but still, since your time of birth is known, and at least for you, the other person doesn't have to know the time of birth. It helps in if a relationship is not good, but so the ascendant can make a difference. But their Saturn will still sit in your certain house, and Venus will still be in the same sign, so that part is fine. It's only when the other person, so from your point of view, it's fine without that also. But for us to do the report, we do need the time of birth, yes. But for me to do the interpretation, we can do a telephone consultation on that or any of that. For that, we don't need, actually.
Great.
Any other questions about astrology and palmistry and how do you like our approach to this music thing?
Oh, I love it. It's very unique. And I think it's just very soothing, you know? I find it very...
So as you can see, the air signs and the fire signs, of course, get along well with each other because the air is definitely, they're both very, very independent. Now, when you put, for example, when I said this, let's say somebody has Venus in Aries. That's very, it's a strong placement, but it's also a very, very independent placement. Then you put that, the vows of love we made until we die, and then I mean it literally. When you take Venus in Scorpio or Venus in Cancer, Venus in Pisces to some extent is a bit of an exception. But when you take these three signs, they're all very game playing. Like, don't touch me, and every cell of their body needs to be housed, and they're extremely empathetic, and, so it's much more moody also. And you may not recognize it, but in the long run, it will physically affect the person. But you know, Samantha, when people are compatible, it's an amazing, amazing aspect. When two people, you know, when you have, because I've actually matched a lot of people when they have a compatibility, it's amazing.
Mm. I was just going to say, I'd be very curious to see that report. I think I'm going to order it now.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, we were talking about the love signs. We talk about air and fire. Now, another thing is that I said there are about 60 different types of love. And by the way, there are different generations also you have taken into consideration. For example, the 50s generation, late 40s and 50s. Actually, let me go back. The 20s and the early 30s were this very charismatic generation. This generation was like a, actually even before that, we should take you. By the way, in my book, Moon Magic 2006, which makes an astrology in about 5 minutes, I've given all these things, the inspirational ideas of your generation, also I've talked about. And, see, when you have Neptune in Cancer, for example, Cancer signs for family, for home. Now, this generation has a very strong sense of, like, family values, and it's protected with loved ones and all. And they always draw inspiration from homes and family and tradition. Now, those who were born from 1901 to 1916, they were born with that. And if you look at the people, Dr. Seuss, Walt Disney, Jimmy Stewart, Mark Twain also, called Lucille Ball, Lorne Greene, Ed Sullivan, Bob Hope. And you could watch their things, the whole family could enjoy. Right after that, you have, and still by the Walt Disney example, I mean, all the family get-togethers and all that, and that whole Neptune energy is so much like that. Well, we do have a caller. Hello, you're on the line.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, this is Peggy Cruz.
Can you speak a bit louder, dear?
Sorry. This is Peggy Cruz.
Yes.
I was wondering. My birthday is February 8th, 1982. I was wondering, can you please tell me anything about my life?
About your life, okay. You have Mercury in the sign of Pisces. You know, you're very talented, my dear. And, you're quite versatile and you can do several things and do them well. And, the aspect of, since I'm looking at Pisces, like Sidney Poitier. He was born with that. Also, I'm trying to remember, actually Celine Dion is born with that. So you must be very good in singing too. You certainly have a beautiful voice. What I call a comfortable sadness to your voice. It gives, you know, like lullabies and all that. So you must be very good with children and old people. Do you like children and old people?
Oh, yes. I love them dearly.
Really? You must also be very creative, very good imagination. So for art, for music, for writing, it's excellent. And especially for teaching. Do you want to be a teacher? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, at the moment, I volunteer at schools. I love just working with the children.
That's beautiful. What is your name, my dear?
Peggy Cruz.
Oh, right, right, yeah. That's beautiful. I'm sure that you'll be a fantastic teacher. I noticed that you have Venus in Aries, which is also very good for graphics, actually. That lady was called before Samantha. She had Venus in Aries, too. So you also need somebody who is, you know, dynamic and, very sporting, athletic type. And the distinguishing mark of the person would be that she'll have a scar near the eyebrows. That's one of the things. But the only thing, you know, by the way, right now you've got fantastic aspects in the chart for study, for learning. From now, it goes on right to about September of this year. Since you're Mercury in the sign of Pisces, that's getting touched up by Jupiter. So for learning, for many different things, for general interest courses, for example. So for music, this is the time you should focus on that. Any other questions you'd like to ask, my dear? Do you like the music?
Pardon?
Did you like all the music that I was playing? Could you understand some of that?
Oh, yes. It was lovely.
Okay. Okay, keep listening. I'm glad to hear you called.
Yes, you're great.
Take care, my dear.
I love the radio show. Okay, take
care.
Sally. Bye.
Thanks, Lee. Bye, then. Well, there's one of the young callers for us. Beautiful voice. I love American Psychics. My eldest sister's a doctor, actually. And she was, I remember when she used to sing the lullabies. And it's so amazing. You know, sometimes I get really tired and when I, when I'm sleeping and you dream about the person and that she's feeding you, because I completely literally forget about eating sometimes. And it's amazing the childhood memories have to come back, you know, and it's in, and she comes up, it's like a nurturing, healing aspect. I can feel like a real healer. Actually. Okay, now, another aspect of, by the way, the, you know, when you think of Pisces, you know, the one that we just called, Peggy Cruz, I think she said. This is the, you know, when you hear Ave Maria, this is a Schubert's rendition of it. So this is Mercury in Pisces. I mean, she has Mercury in Pisces like this, in the sign of Aries, like that soul sister that we said. Now this one. So you combine these two. How do you get that? See, nobody would think, like when she talks, she has this real healing aspect about her. And then, yet, she, in the parties and all that, and dancing and hip-hop, I forgot to ask her that she'd be probably very good at hip-hop and jazz and all sort of dancing also. Now, when you combine some of these themes, I'm going to show you Venus and Pisces. And this is an Aquarius-Pisces theme, by the way. Actually, a Pisces and Libra theme. Before I show you Libra and Pisces, this one is Pisces with Libra. So it starts up with that melodic one, that deep pathos in it. Or the love aspect at the same time. This is the most inspirational type of love, ruled by Neptune, when Venus is in Pisces. And now when a violin and cello is coming, it's like something just hugging you, you know, with that love. The piece is called Lysistrata by Giovanni. Casanova was born with Venus in Pisces, actually, but it's not Don Juan quality. It's an extremely idealistic nature. And someone who keeps going from one to the other to find that may have a match. That's a Venus in Pisces. Sometimes also if you have Venus in the 12th house, it gives a similar type of theme as well. And so we dealt with fire signs and air signs, and slowly every time, you know, over the next few weeks, we'll keep on talking about love matters, and we'll keep on, you know, elaborating on this. And I also want to talk a little bit about some of the events that have happened recently. So it's really moons in Pisces. And in my moon magic, in October 1989, I wrote about whenever moon is in Aries, what kind of event that can expect in the world, and it's very interesting. I mean, at that time, even the weather pattern, what kind of things I knew. Like when Moon is in Scorpio, for example, you'll hear about life and death situations, or funerals will be in the news, for example, and it's very good for self-mastery, for research. And, but people become very vindictive. If you cut somebody off on the road, they always follow you, and it becomes a real, actually, thing in Toronto, in the Eden Center. I was at this Foot Locker about 20 minutes before this girl got shot. 20 minutes before that I was there. And a very strange energy from the people, and I personally don't really like that moon in Scorpio. And I just left that place. And 20 minutes later, this girl was shot. And it's such a, you know, sad aspect. And there's a grand square in the sky. And with Mars, Saturn, Neptune, and Jupiter. It's a grand square. And there's getting so shot. This has been the cause of all these hurricanes and tornadoes and, to some extent, tsunamis also, but the tsunami is more Uranus and Pisces as well. So this aspect of all the violence around the world and the fires that you're seeing, so that's all that Mars aspect, Mars, Saturn, Neptune theme, has been going on from last August. And 2005, Moon Magic, which we wrote in 2004, we wrote about that on page 133 of the major tornadoes and storms and hurricanes and then scandals and epidemics. And scandals also starting with all these Bush and all that thing going on. And epidemics, we're talking about that also. Now, every time we're in, this grand square is also setting off Iran's chart. And it's interesting that Iran's, as people think, they're very backward and conservative and all that, but, the new republic was in Aquarius, a lot of times in Aquarius, which is almost like a nuclear technology and all that, but also very inventive. And they've got their own satellite now. So today you're sort of progressive type thing, at least the chart shows it, but all those aspects are getting touched up by Mars. And I said from last August, there'd be some major danger to Iran. They will try to attack, but they wouldn't be able to. That maybe events will happen to stop them. And Katrina started and all the other things. By the way, Mars being in Taurus is another, like, mining accident. That's also at Mars, Jupiter, with Mars being in Taurus. Now, that got touched off by the Moon being in the sign of Scorpio. Now, this happens about 1.5-2 days every month. And the next time when Moon goes into this Scorpio, I'll just tell you, the next time when this comes up, it's on January 23rd, the same app is getting touched off again. So it's very early in the morning, but throughout that 23rd, these are sort of dangerous times. And when you hear about funerals in the news and terrorists and all that, there's an increasing. February 19th is another one, so be extra careful on those days. And but after that, it's gone, because Mars will be in Gemini by that time, so it's not as strong. And another theme is when it's in Leo. And now, you know, I wrote about in my world prediction for 2017, which we wrote last year. And you can order this, by the way, online as well. It's an 11x17 laminated sheet. It's a beautiful one. Right till 2017, it shows you all kinds of events. And one of the things I wrote there last August, I said there'll be danger to monarchy, especially in the Middle East. And first King Fahd passed away. From Heart also I wrote about that. And now, the Sheikh Maktoum of Dubai passed away. I believe yesterday or the day before. And I think yesterday, yes. So this is again from Heart. Yeah, so anyone who does have heart problems, they do need to extra care in June and July. And especially the monarchy anywhere, including England, they have to extra care in June and July also. And we just have a few minutes. If you do want to call in, our number is 1-888-268-4313. Now, I was talking about the different generations. And so one of the things that I wrote about, and so the age of the golden movies, they were born between about September 1914 to about July 29. And that generation, what we call the age of the golden movies, the roaring lion that you see, the Leo part being the lion, and the movies, of course, the Neptune. So Neptune and Leo is a perfect symbol for them. So many great actors were born during that generation, very charismatic and love the pomp and have a natural sense of drama. Frank Sinatra was born with that, Liberace was born with that, Marilyn Monroe was born with that, Shah Rukh Khan, Pierre Trudeau. Actually, Pierre Trudeau and Shah Rukh Khan were born the same week, actually. And Queen Elizabeth II and Marlon Brando was born with that, Walter Cronkite was born with that. The Neptune Virgo people, they are born about from 1929 to about August of 43. Now, this whole generation is what they call the Blue Generation. And they're sort of recluses, and they're very humble, but they're master craftsmen, real perfectionists. And but they also into antidepressants, and the extra careful. Liz Taylor was born with that, Elvis Presley was born with that, James Brown. And Bruce Lee was born that also, and so was Woody Allen, actually. And Willie Nelson, also. All these, you know, these countryside singing, that's all that Virgo aspect. You know, I slipped on a banana peel, my mistress not talking to me, that's the Virgo thing, but they're real master craftsmen. The next generation, from 42 to 57, that's a Neptune in Libra, when Taj Mahal was conceived as a monument to love. And this is the most beautiful, the most romantic placement, of course, for Neptune, of course. And I'm just trying to remember some things, like who are the people, Holy Grace is born with that. Also, Yanni. Yanni was also born with that. And trying to get some music also going here. And also, who else was born with that? Donald Trump was born with that, actually. Bo Derek, George Lucas. Bill Clinton is born with that, Richard Gere, Prince Charles. That whole age group is a very romantic generation. And they respond to that beauty, and it's like within his walls, you know. And so it's a very inspirational type of generation. That the Scorpio generation, the 60s generation, a bit of a crazy generation, but extremist generation, from 55 to about 1970. It's like extreme spirituality. It's like somebody, for example, who is one of the ladies of the night wearing a cross, or Osama bin Laden, for example, these type of people. It's an extreme of spirituality. Michelangelo was one of these aspects, and all these new and Sistine chapels. Madonna, for example, loved seeing an altar. Princess Diana was born of that. And John Kennedy Jr. was born of that. Michael Jackson was born of that. And Sarah Ferguson, Jim Carrey, Mike Tyson, Demi Moore. So it's a bit of an extremist generation. Very sort of, you love these dark forces. And if you go on the website, you'll see the black and deep burgundy a lot on their website. It's like the Dracula colors. The Neptune and Sagittarius generation, born from the 70s right till 84. That's what I call the UFO generation. You know, when the first, they're very open to aliens and inhabited universes and fashioned by life on other galaxies. And psychic affairs were first held during this transit, actually, when Neptune went to Sagittarius. So this generation is extremely philosophical, very idealistic about society. Abraham Lincoln was born with that, for example. All this, Drew Barrymore and Cameron Diaz and Edgar Allan Poe was born with that. And Katie Holmes also born with that, actually. And actually, she does a very nice chart. I'm going to discuss the chart sometime. And Paris Hilton is also born with that. Prince William is born with that. Chelsea Clinton. And also, remember Martin Luther King? I had a dream. That's Neptune and Sagittarius. Now, those who were born in Neptune and Capricorn from 1984 to 1998, they love the natural laws of nature, you know, to find the practical solutions to uplift humanity. So they're concerned with environmental issues. And they love archaeology and paleontology and rock collection and the dinosaurs and all. Ulysses was born with that. Ulysses Grant, I mean, U.S. President, he was born with that. And the philanthropist Andrew Carnegie was born with that. The Red Cross founder Clara Barton was born with that. Leo Foster was born with that. Lee Pastor, and he was also born with that. And then we have the Neptune Aquarius. These are the children from 1998 to 2012. This is what I call the animated age of the movies. And very humanitarian also. And this is the internet generation, the high-tech generation. And Thomas Alva Edison was born with that. Alexander Graham Bell was born with that. And Renoir, the Impressionist, he was born with that. So all the holography and all that theme is that aspect. So these are different generations. So it's also, when you're comparing the love aspect, the marriage and relationships, you also have to take into consideration the generations. If you take somebody from the Scorpio generation, now let's say you have Neptune and Scorpio, born in the 60s generation. And again, one with somebody who has Saturn in Scorpio, that can make you very, very insecure. People who are into alcohol and drugs, they can get deeper into that. So Saturn, for example, was in Scorpio, let's say, in 83 and 84. So you combine these two people together, the 60s generation with that, or you take somebody from 58 and 59, and you put them together with the 60s generation, the one who was born in the 60s, they feel extremely, extremely insecure every time they have a company of these people who are born in 57, 58. And they may not even realize what's happening. Actually, it's 54 and 55 till about the beginning of 56. And just because they're starting to start the Neptune, they'll have these deep insecurities regardless of how compatible the chart is, but they'll have all these deep psychological and mental problems otherwise, you know. And so you have to take the whole thing into consideration. And I just want to play this one last one, which is we'll play the Chopin for you. By the way, the Titanic music is also the Piscean theme. But the Chopin, this is partly the Aquarius and Pisces theme also. We have one or two minutes to go. Just to let you know that this is the Piscean theme. That violence is a Piscean theme. Every time you hear violence, you know it's a Piscean aspect. So if you have Venus in the 12th house, or Venus in Pisces, that means you enjoy some sadness, you enjoy pathos. Not in a Virgo way, like a self-pity and poor me attitude, but the deep pathos is an inspirational sadness, which you only appreciate when something first is denied in life. Great masters, you know, all these people I love, Aquarius and Pisces planets. Shade is also, like this another piece, this one is, I'll just show you the beginning, this is a very Piscean theme. Just the beginning part is pure Pisces. We run out of time, and next time, of course, we'll continue the relationships. And if you want to compare your charts with somebody else's charts, and in the meantime, this is Captain Dapper saying good night to all of you. Wish you all the best. Until next time, adios.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.